blessing. You can go ahead and be turning in the Word of God to John chapter 6, the Gospel according to John chapter 6. While you're finding your place there, let me make a few announcements. I'm sure you noticed in the announcer this morning that today is the 57th anniversary of Brother and Sister Ken and Gail Anglin. And God bless y'all. What a testimony that is. And 58. Oh. Amen. I'll make that change right here, right now. When you get that many years, you don't want to leave out of one of them, right, Brother Ken? Amen. God bless y'all. What a testimony that is to our generation. And then we want congratulations today to go to Brian and Tamara Stillman. These are the proud parents of Chase Samuel Stillman, born January 25th, 2009, weighing 7 pounds, 4 ounces, 21 inches long. And congratulations to this fine couple. And of course, the proud grandparents as well, to Brother Charles and Rose Stillman. Rose is back there, just they're having to scoot over in the row, her head's getting so big. Amen. Congratulations to you folks, and God bless you. And then special thank yous this for all of you who brought food and helped with the funerals that we had this week, and appreciate so much your help and being a blessing to those that were in need. And we are so thankful for this. All right, John chapter 6. And oh, before I forget, deacons, we have a meeting this afternoon at 5 o'clock over in the church office, if you would please. John chapter 6, and would you look at verse number 34. John 6 and verse 34. Let's stand together for the reading of God's Word. By the way, please be in prayer as we continue to work towards our children's ministry being expanded and having a junior church on Sunday mornings for the Sunday morning service, as well as doing more for our nursery. And so if y'all would be sure and be in prayer for that, and I need workers. We can't just leave them by themselves. They need dedicated, loving workers to give them a service on a level that would be a blessing to them. And I believe a blessing to the parents as well, being able to be here in the main service. All right, John chapter 6, verse number 34. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you so much for the fellowship that we've been able to enjoy today in your house. Father, thank you for the singing of gospel songs that has stirred our hearts. And now, Father, I pray that you would bless as we look at your precious word. Father, thank you for the infallible book that you've given us, that we can read, that we can study, that we can hide the precious words in our hearts that we would not sin against you. Father, I pray that if there's anyone here today that's never had a time in his or her life where they've accepted Christ as personal Savior, I pray that today would be the day, Father. Whatever need there is in a heart, Father, we're thankful that you have the answer to that need. And I pray that we would be a people who are submissive to the working of the Holy Spirit of God in our lives and in our hearts. And we'll be very careful to praise you for what you do. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. In the early verses of John chapter 6, we see how that many of the people who were following Jesus were experts at missing the point. And you know, I've been guilty of that, so have you. Where someone had tried to get a point across to us and it just doesn't seem to register. And we see this so vividly in verse number 26, where it says that Jesus answered them and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled." You see, these people had witnessed the miraculous feeding of the 5,000 with the 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. And it seemed like all they were able to do was to make the physical connection. They were not connecting with the truth that Jesus was trying to deliver to them by what he was doing in their lives in meeting these physical needs. They wanted Jesus to continue, and this is what they had on their mind. They wanted Jesus to continue to meet the physical need for food. In fact, if you look in verse number 30, we see it says that they had said that if he would provide them with a suitable sign. And the Jews were experts at this. They wanted some kind of sign to prove that Jesus was who he said he was. In verse 30, they said if he would just provide this kind of sign, that he was the Messiah, they would believe. But the suitable sign that they were looking for, and Jesus makes mention of it here in the passage, the suitable sign in their minds was for Jesus to once again provide manna from heaven like they believe Moses did back in the wilderness years and years before. They believed this because they were taught this by the rabbis of the day, that the coming Messiah would once again give his people manna. Therefore, we find them challenging Jesus to produce what they were considering, what they were calling bread from God, this manna, and that this would be the proving factor that would give indication that Jesus was truly who he says he was, that he was the Messiah. But if you look at verses 32 and 33, we see that Jesus corrected their thinking by pointing out the errors that they had in their minds and hearts. You see, he first of all dealt with the error in believing that it was Moses who provided the manna in the first place. He corrected that. You see, it was not Moses, but it was God who had provided the manna in the wilderness. But more importantly, what Jesus was trying to get across to this crowd was that the manna was not really the bread of God, but that it was only the symbol of the bread of God. God who had provided this manna. We see in verse number 33 it says, "For the bread of God is he." And that should have been a big hint. He's saying the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth light unto the world. You see, what Jesus was trying to get across to this crowd that was so bent on receiving some kind of sign, this physical sign of manna, like the physical manna in the wilderness years before, Jesus was trying to tell them that this manna, this bread of God, was a person. and that the physical stuff that they were talking about was only a symbol of the person that was to give life to the world, and that person was Jesus. He was standing before them. The crowd may not have understood everything that Jesus was saying that day, but one thing for sure, they understood at least part of it. For you see, the bread they wanted did not come from Moses, it came from God. And so they were able to understand at least to some extent that he was talking about something beyond the mere physical. If you look at verses 34 through 40, I'm not going to read these verses again. We're going to be looking at them again in just a moment. But in these verses that we read this morning, I want you to see four things that I believe this passage that Jesus is trying to give us, this message that John is writing about Jesus being the living bread. That this was bread that would not wither away. This was bread that John so vividly tells us in these verses was an everlasting substance. And there we get back to the wonderful truth that was trying to be driven across in this passage, and that is we're not talking about the physical, we're talking about the spiritual. We're talking about what Jesus wanted to do in the lives of the people. So as we look at four things this morning about what this passage, I believe, is telling us about Jesus being the living bread, would you notice, first of all, with me, Jesus is the source of life. Verse 35, Jesus says, "I am the bread of life." And you know, really, to understand the impact of what Jesus said here when he uttered these words, "I am the bread of life," we have to go back to the Old Testament. When God revealed his personal name to Moses in Exodus chapter 3. You see, in Exodus chapter 3, you remember that Moses stood before the burning bush, the bush that would burn but was not consumed. And it was at that bush that God gave the command to Moses that you were to go back to the people and that you were to tell them that I am going to deliver them from the hands of Pharaoh. And that's exactly what God wanted to do. Well, Moses was ready to give all kinds of excuses as to why he could not be the one to do it. And so I guess the bottom line of what Moses had to say was, "Father, who am I to tell them sent me to them?" And boy, did God give Moses a message at this point when he said in verse number 14, he said, "You tell them that I am has sent me unto you." And when God said, "I am," he was given a name from that point on that the Jews associated with as being a claim of deity. And so when we come to the New Testament, when Jesus declares in John 8:58, he makes the statement, "Before Abraham was, I am." And when Jesus made that statement, he absolutely shocked the people who were listening to him. For you see, in making that statement, they understood that Jesus was making the claim that he was God. In saying, "I am has sent me," Jesus was saying, "I am God." And at this point, his enemies were ready to stone him for blasphemy. And rightly so, because either what he was saying was true or he was awfully deluded and telling them a lie. But the fact is, as we look at the Gospel of John, we see seven times in the Gospel of John, Jesus was saying who he was, and each time he made the statement as to who he was giving us a deeper understanding of what he wants to do for us and what he is all about. You see, he's given us a deeper understanding of the provisions that he has made for us. You see, we read in our text that Jesus said in verse 35 of John 6, he said, "I am the bread of life." He goes on in John chapter 8 and verse number 12, and in John 5 and John 9 and verse number 5, he makes the statement, "I'm not only the bread of life, I am the light of the world." In chapter 10, verses 7 and 9, he says, "I am the door." And notice he's saying each time, "I am." He is making a claim to his deity. He is reminding the people that he was not just the common man like a lot of the religious people were trying to view him as during those days. You see, a lot of them were saying, "Is not this the son of Mary? Don't we know his brothers and his sisters? He's just another man." No, he's the bread of life. He's the light of the world. He goes on and says, "I am the door." In chapter 10 of John, in verse 11 and 14, he says, "I am the good shepherd." In chapter 11, verse 25, "I am the resurrection and the life." In John chapter 14 and verse number 6, don't you love these words? He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And then in chapter 15, verses 1 and 5, he says, "I am the true vine." You see, Jesus, in claiming his deity in these powerful verses, John is clearly proclaiming with these powerful statements about Jesus that he was the Savior, that he was not just the common man, that he was not just another man on the street. He was the Savior, and this Savior of whom he was writing was the one and only true God. In the opening, "I am," Jesus says, though, "I am the bread of life." What a powerful statement. What a powerful statement Jesus is making here. And by the way, I don't believe it's a coincidence that Jesus was born in the city of Bethlehem, which means house of bread. Jesus is claiming in these verses that we've read this morning to be that which one needs in order to have life. And by the way, let me go a step further with a statement. Jesus is not only making the claim and giving them this information in order to know that they can have life, but that they could continue to live. That Jesus is making the statement that once he makes a change in a life, he doesn't just dump us. He gives us the grace, the great I am, the living bread, the daily bread, gives us day by day the things that you and I need, not just to know that we have everlasting life, but to know that we have a life that is worth living right here on this planet. Jesus is telling them that without him there is existence, but there's not life. And I'm telling you this morning, if you don't know Jesus Christ today as your personal Savior, you may know what it means to exist. You know what it means to exist. You're sitting here breathing today. You're looking at me, but you don't know what it means to live. You need this bread of life that Jesus is describing himself to be here in this passage. You see, Jesus gives eternal life. And he, and not only that, he has life in himself, and then he's able to give life to all who will come unto him. Not only is Jesus the source of life, but would you notice with me, Jesus is the sustainer of life. Looking back again at verse number 35, Jesus says, "I am the bread of life." When he made that statement, "I am the bread," when Jesus spoke of himself as being this, he was using an image that everyone understood. Everyone understood how important bread was. You see, in Jesus' day, bread was the staple of the common man's diet. As a matter of fact, in Ralph Gower's book, The New Manners and Customs of Bible Times, he says this: for most people, food was simple. Bread, olives, cheese, fruit, and vegetables formed the staple diet. Meat was eaten on rare occasions. And listen to what he has to say about bread. Bread was so basic a food that it became synonymous with life itself. You see, when Jesus was making these statements, and even when he gave the model prayer in Matthew 6, verses 9 through 13, Jesus was teaching his disciples to pray. And while he was doing that, he reminded them of the daily need that they had of the Heavenly Father to be their daily bread. Luke chapter 11 and verse number 3, Jesus says, give us day by day our daily bread. When we talk about bread being the staple of the people back during these days, they understood exactly what Jesus was saying when he used the word daily. You see, when Jesus describes himself as being the bread of life, I am thankful that I don't have to choose days of the week when I can go to God. I don't have to choose days of the week when Jesus is available. He didn't say, I am the bread for you on Mondays, but not on Tuesdays. I am the bread for you on Wednesdays, but not on Thursdays. I am the bread for you on Fridays, but forget about the weekend. No, Jesus was saying when he said, I am the bread of life, he was also saying, I am the sustainer of life. And as I sustain you, it is a moment by moment, day by day relationship that we have with the Savior. Oh, what a joy it is to know that Jesus is our all-sufficient Savior. I love the song, the gospel hymn, Day by Day. Day by day, and with each passing moment, strength I find to meet my trials here. Trusting in my Father's wise bestowment, I have no cause to worry or for fear. He whose heart is kind beyond all measure gives unto each day what he deems best. Lovingly is part of pain and pleasure, mingling toil with peace and rest. Listen to verse 3. Help me then in every tribulation so to trust your promises, O Lord, that I lose not faith's sweet consolation offered me within your holy word. Help me, Lord, when toil and trouble meeting, e'er to take as from a father's hand, one by one, listen to these words, one by one the days, the moments fleeting till I reach the promised land. Oh, what a joy it is to know this morning that Jesus is not only the source of life, but he's the sustainer of life. He's the all-sufficient Savior. Would you notice with me, thirdly, I believe we're seeing here in this passage that Jesus is the satisfaction in life. Look at verse 35, the latter part of the verse. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Have you ever noticed that some of the most dissatisfied people in the world live in the most developed countries of the world? Some of the most dissatisfied, ungrateful people, unhappy people, live in the most developed countries of the world. Patty and Brandon have spent the last 2 weeks in Nicaragua. And one of the things that they have noticed, and Patty's noticed on the trips when she's gone down there, is how grateful the people are for such little minute things that you and I take for granted day after day. Last year when she went down, someone gave her a large number of the little motel soaps like you'd get in a hotel room. And as kind of an extra thing, they put those things out, and you would have thought that it was a 90% off sale at Belk's. I mean, they were going after that soap. They were thankful for the little things that we take so often for granted. You know what the sad truth is that we've got to understand and we've got to admit this morning is that there are people all over the world who have more than enough to eat, who have a comfortable place to live, and yet they're not satisfied. What are they saying? What are they saying when they have all these things and yet they're not satisfied? I believe they are people who are hungry for more than just a full belly and a comfortable existence. They are a restless people, which are saying in their hearts and they're crying out with a need that there has to be more to life than this. There has to be more to life than just things. There has to be more to life than just tangible items that I can touch and that I can feel. When the Lord spoke of being the bread of life, He was saying, I want to rescue you from the emptiness of life without me. Jesus was saying to the restless person who may have a great amount of wealth, who may have a wonderful place to live, who may not have a whole lot of needs, He was saying, I am here to rescue you from the emptiness that you have in spite of all you have because you don't have me. Oh, that's why we've got to get the gospel out to a world that is just crawling with things. And yet they're missing the bread of life. They're missing Jesus and what He wants to do in their life. Look with me at Isaiah chapter 55. In Isaiah 55, we find these words. Verse number 1. Isaiah says, Ho. That's an interesting beginning, isn't it? He says, Ho. What he's saying is, hey, listen to this. Listen, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Now that's an unusual statement. But look at verse number 2. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread? And you labor for that which satisfieth not. Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. And then the first part of verse number 3, incline your ear and come unto me, hear and your soul shall live. I'm telling you what Isaiah is trying to say here, I believe, as we look at verse number 9. Verse number 1, he's saying, get in this line. Get in this line here where you don't have to have the tangible things to be happy. You don't have to have the tangible things to purchase. You just need the promise and the goodness of God in telling you that I am going to give you, Jesus said, when he said, I am the bread of life. He said, I am going to give you what you need to have in your soul that you may live and not just a physical existence. It's far more than that. A spiritual existence. In knowing that the tangible things that we try to get a hold of and these things sift through our fingers, and nowadays we're seeing a lot of that, are we not? Just how quick things can sift through our fingers and be gone. But I'm telling you that when we get a hold of the message that Jesus has given us in this passage, He is saying, I want to give you something that will satisfy you when the tangible things are gone. And what a message we need of that today. Finally, would you notice with me this morning? We've seen that Jesus is the source of life. Jesus is the sustainer of life. He's a satisfaction in life. And finally, in verses 37 through 40, we see that Jesus is the security of eternal life. Jesus said, "The bread of life is our guarantee regarding our security." And again, He's not focusing on tangible things here, about like something like you'd have a security system to protect your tangible things that you have at your house. I imagine many of you, when you left the house today, you punched in a code and you left your things secure in that security system that you've bought. But Jesus is saying, "I'm not talking about the tangible things." He said, "I am your security system for all eternity." In verse number 37, He says, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day." And look at verse 40. "And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life." What a security system that is for the soul. You see, Jesus is saying, it's not about family salvation. Yesterday, I had a part in a service, in a funeral service for a godly man, and there was a godly family there, and I was thankful for the testimony of that family. But no matter how good our family is, it's not the security that we need for our soul throughout eternity. It's not about religion. It's not about being a Baptist. It's not about what church I attend. I am happy as a bug in a rug being in this place right here. But I'm telling you, my security, as much as I love Stony Mountain Baptist Church and the fellowship that we have together, my security regarding my salvation is not in this fellowship, it's in this relationship. It's in the relationship that I have with my precious Savior, the Lord Jesus, the bread of life, who has said, "I am your security." And I'm here to tell you, if you are depending on anything else this morning other than the precious shed blood of Jesus Christ, and you're trusting Him to be your personal Savior, if you're trusting in anything other than that, you're not secure for eternity. You need to trust Jesus, the bread of life. F.B. Meyer stated it this way, and listen to what our security system does for us. Listen to what Jesus, the bread of life, our security system does. F.B. Meyer put it this way, "He stands between us and all assailants, whether they be the righteous demands of the law in the Old Testament," and that's what was standing between Jesus and the crowd that he was dealing with here in John chapter 6. They were looking back at the law and the fear that they had of the law. Jesus is ready to stand between us and the law. Or the dark powers of hell. Ever, listen to what he's doing. Meyer says, ever he is inserting himself between our enemies and ourselves, covering us, acting as our shield and buckler, and receiving into his own royal heart the blows meant for our worthless selves. That's our security system. That's what Jesus does for those who have put their faith and their trust in Him. Jesus is the source of life. He's the sustainer of life. He's the satisfaction in life. He's the security of eternal life. My question as I close out this morning would be, have you met the source of life today? Have you had a time in your life where you've accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? He's ready to be your bread today. He's ready to be your Savior. Are you trusting Him to be your sustainer in life? Oh, listen, nowadays we need far more than a bank account and an IRA and 401(k)s, whatever the numbers are you have behind your particular investment. We need more than that. We need Jesus to be our sustainer. And you know, when He is, we then can allow Him to be our satisfier, because all those other things won't be as important as the relationship that we'd have with our God. And then I want to ask you this morning, is your security in Him? If your security for eternal life is in anything other than the faith and trust that you've put in Jesus Christ, friend, I'm telling you, you have a false security. You need to trust Jesus. You need to ask Him to be your personal Savior. And by the way, once you do, it is an eternal security system. He says, I will never leave you or forsake you. You see, if it was all about us, I'd be worried about my eternal security. But it's not all about me, it's all about Him. And it's not a matter of my holding on to Him. It's a matter of the fact that I have the promises of the Word of God that tells me He's holding on to me. And that once we trust Him as personal Savior, we have the joy of knowing that we have eternal security, safe in the arms of Jesus. Let's bow our heads together.